All right, we'd like to look here in the book of Galatians chapter 6. We've been preaching a series of messages on just taking the one another's in the Bible, and loving one another and caring for one another and be not bitter against one another and forgiving one another and loving one another. And tonight we want to deal with bearing one another's burdens. Bearing one another's burdens. We want to look here in the first verse here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, this reference is not to the continual, deliberate sinner. I believe caring Christians bear one another's burdens. We care for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We've forgiven our brother and sisters in the Lord. We'll care for one another. And we'll be willing to bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's sins. Bear one another's sorrows. Bear one another's temptations. When that brother has erred, we need to be there. And I believe this deals primarily with the doctrine of restoration. The doctrine of restoration. And there seems to be a contradiction between the second verse and the fifth verse. But there's not a contradiction there. In the second verse, the word for burdens refers to a heavy load. A heavy load. A trial. Something that is very difficult to bear. And so often we have a very, very heavy burden. We have a big trial. We're really going through something that is really hard for us to go through. And we need to be ready to carry the heavy load of one another. Now, in verse 5, The word refers to a little load. A little load that you carry on your back. Now, we can handle those little loads. But it's those heavy loads that we need help with. And I have certain burdens that only I can bear. And I can't pass my responsibilities to others because I've got to fulfill that work myself. The people who try to give their responsibilities to somebody else is missing a great blessing, but they're also disobeying the Lord. But we need to be willing to be there for that brother or sister that is carrying that heavy load. You ever try to pick up something that's awful heavy? Man, you say, man, come over here and help me. I haven't moved my study over to my office yet, and I'm going to need some help because I got a deer head over there that's very heavy, and I'm going to need some help from these brethren. But there's just something, I mean, we can't lift. There's a lot of things we have a hard time carrying spiritually. We have some heavy burdens, and all of us are going to have them. You say, well, that hasn't happened to me yet. But one of these days, it may. And you're going to need somebody to help you with that heavy load. You're going to need somebody to help you with that burden. And there's a lot of ways that we can help one another. We can get on the phone and call and say, how you doing today? Just the thought of you calling shows that individual that you care and that you're trying to help them with that heavy load that they're carrying. And so maybe a visit, a short visit or whatever. But there's just a lot of ways that we can show people that are carrying those heavy loads, we can help out a little bit. And we need to be willing to help them in any way that we possibly can. But a lot of times we're just too busy. Sometimes we're even too busy to even think about them. And that's not right. And I believe that this is what he's getting down to here in these verses. And so I believe this admonition is in the context of restoring a brother. In fact, he's talking about restoring a brother or a sister that has sinned. If someone in the church has been overtaken in a fault. And all of us have a tendency to be overtaken in a fault. That individual was tempted and they failed and they fell. And I believe it's our responsibility as brothers and sisters in the Lord to try to restore that brother and sister. A lot of times we have a tendency to say, well, one way to get rid of that and one way not to have anything to do with that individual is that we'll just exclude them. We'll discipline them. That's fine. We need to practice that and we need to do that. We need to practice discipline. But then at the same time, we need to do everything that we can to try to restore that brother or sister. And you don't have to compromise to do it. You say, well, Brother Jones, we're not to have anything to do with them. No, you're not to have anything to do with them as far as inviting them to the Lord's Supper and all of those things. But we need to do everything we can to try to restore them. And so, ye which, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, ye which are spiritual. How spiritual are you tonight? Do you feel that you're spiritual enough, if you had to, if somebody called you, and one of the members of this church that has been disciplined would call you and ask you to come over and talk with them, and pray with them, do you feel tonight that you're spiritual enough that you would be able to do that? So do you see the need of reading your Bible more, praying more, coming to the house of God more, dedicating your life to the Lord, that you might be spiritual because you don't know when that you're going to have this opportunity to be able to talk to that brother or sister that has been disciplined, or that has been overtaken in a fault, or that has sinned and fell into sin. And we need to realize that the very same thing could happen to us. And that's what he's warning about here. Because every single one of us could do the very same thing, or even worse than that brother or sister that's been disciplined and has fallen into a sin, or been overtaken in a fault. And so we which are spiritual, we're to try to help that brother or sister, be a blessing to them. And there's many burdens that we can help people carry. Now, the particular way that is emphasized here in Galatians 6 is helping those who have stumbled. Helping those who have stumbled. Helping those who have fallen. Paul gives three instructions in this paragraph here. He explained here what we should do. What is it that we're to do? What is he telling us to do? He is telling us to restore them. Another instruction he gives us is, why should we do it? We're to do it because of the law of Christ. Because of the law of Christ. Then he told us how to do it. We're to do it with meekness. So the first instruction is what we should do. We should restore. We should restore that individual. Now, the word restore is not the word rejoice. It does not say that you should rejoice if someone sins. Now, the word restore means resetting bones that were out of socket, that required gentleness. Your knee socket is out of joint. You want somebody to come up here and grab a hold of that thing and twist it this way and twist it that way? No, you want somebody, you want a doctor that's going to be very gentle. We are to be very gentle in restoring that brother or sister. And there's a lot of people, a lot of Baptist people, enjoy it when other Christians fall, because they think that it makes them look good. He said, do you mean that there's people that do that? Sure, there's people that do that. It makes them look good. It does not say reveal. Some like to laugh at others when they've fallen in sin. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't go around revealing them. It does not say if somebody falls into sin, reject him, judge him, condemn him. The Pharisees did that, and that's wrong. The Bible says here, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Now, why should we do it? Turn with me to the Gospel of John. John chapter 13. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. That you also love one another. And so, love one another. That is the law of Christ. That we love one another. We don't restore people because of law. We do it because of love. We do it because of love. And we see here that Paul addressed his people here as brothers. Restoring one another. Restoring our brothers and sisters, I believe, is a family matter. And so we love the members of the family. And we also care for the household of faith. Look at verse 10 of Galatians chapter 6, where he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good, not evil. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So when you have love for your brothers and sisters, you'll help to restore them when they have fallen. How much effort has each member of this church put forth in trying to restore the ones that this church has disciplined? Now only you can answer that question. How much effort have you put forth in trying to restore that brother or that sister that has fallen or has been overtaken in a fault? You'd say, brother, I'm going to leave that up to you. You're the pastor. Now, if they were addressing me only here, I would do that as a pastor. But it's not just the responsibility of the pastor. It's the responsibility of every member of Olmsted Baptist Church to try to do everything, put forth every effort that they possibly can in trying to restore that brother or sister. You are not compromising by going and knocking on their door or getting on a phone and calling them and letting them know that you are praying for them. You say, well, they'll cuss me out. Well, that won't be on you. That'll be on them. They're going to treat me terrible. They're not going to receive me. That's going to be on them. It's not going to be on you. But it's going to be on you if you don't do everything you possibly can to try to restore that brother or sister that has fallen. It gets right down where we live, doesn't it? Because no doubt every one of us fail in this doctrine of restoration. And so the way that we treat a brother or sister who has sinned, I believe, is evidence of our own spiritual condition. If you think about that for a minute, it shows us how spiritual we are right at the moment. So what are we to do? We're to restore. Why should we do it? Because of love and not law. And then the third instruction he gives us is how that we should do it. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Meekness is not weakness. The meek person is filled with the Holy Spirit. Because part of the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. there in the fifth chapter in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. And so the main point that Paul made was this. Considering lest thou also be tempted. What we think of ourselves determines how we treat other people. The Lord said, this is the so-called golden rule. Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. There in Matthew chapter 7. I could have sinned. It could have been me who was falling or stumbling. We need to realize that. We need to treat that person with meekness, with gentleness. You don't go to that individual that has gone out and got drunk and we find out about it and we go take a couple men and we go visit him and we say, all right, bud, we're going to exclude you if you're not there Sunday night. You go with a compassionate heart, a loving heart. You deal with them in love. You deal with them with meekness. You try to show them the truth. Try to get their life straightened out with the Word of God. You have prayer with them. You do everything you possibly can to try to restore that brother or that sister. And I realize there comes a time when we do have to discipline. There's no other, but I believe every effort ought to be put forth to try to restore that brother before that action is taken. You say, well, that sounds a little bit wishy-washy. I don't believe it does. I believe that's the truth. I believe that's exactly what he's saying here. Well, I'll tell you what. That'll never happen to me. You don't have to worry about me, preacher. Because I would never do that. And not only that, my kids will never do that either. Y'all ever hear that? I've heard that, pastoring. Just about every church I've pastored, probably. I'll never do that. Don't you worry, preacher. My kids would never do that. I've got them under control. You don't know what your kids are going to do. You raise them the very best you can raise them. You bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And it's the Lord that makes it effectual in their heart. And it's only going to be by the grace of God that you're not going to do that and your children are not going to do that. And we need to have sympathy with that mother and dad whose kids have done that. We don't look at them and say, man, how bad, oh, that's terrible. That is awful. Boy, I can't believe they would do that. No, we go in love and we help that brother, we help that sister, we help that mother and dad or whoever is involved, and we try to restore them and we try to ease that burden. We try to do everything we can to try to be a blessing to them. We don't condemn. We don't judge them. Other than when we have to discipline them. And a church has to judge that. And so, when we get to thinking that way, we're in trouble. When you get to thinking that you're not going to do that, and your kids aren't going to do that, and so on. And so we have the privilege. And we have the joy of bearing one another's burdens. And so I'm thankful that the Lord has used other Christians and other brothers and sisters down through the years to help me in bearing the burdens that I have had to go through. And so when you're bearing burdens, you're really sharing blessings. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ has set the example. How many burdens did He help people carry when He was ministering here upon earth? Just think of the many, as you read the New Testament, the many burdens that the Lord lifted and the Lord helped others with. Is there somebody here in this church whose burden you need to help share? You know, we can get so wrapped up in just our affairs of life that we forget all about that other brother or sister that needs some help. I mean, some of those little burdens, that little pack, they can carry that. Elsie's got a heavy load right now. And she needs us to get behind her and pray for her. Do all we can to try to ease that burden, that heavy load. Others in the church that need some help carrying that burden. And may God help us tonight that we'll do all of this in love. Do it all in gentleness, meekness. Because tomorrow, we may be carrying one heavier. And as you share one another's burdens, the Lord will help you with your own. And so, Christians who are Christians bear one another's burdens. It's never right to ignore, forget, or forsake a brother in need. However deep that stain of sin is. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll close with that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, For yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. So, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. I don't know how the Lord's spoken to you tonight, but he's spoken to me. Because all of us can get pretty hard sometimes, you know what? We really can. We can get to the point sometimes where we just, the only time we got to take care of me. We don't have time for anybody else. But may the Lord show us tonight the responsibilities that we have to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. The responsibilities that we have. When we discipline a person, it isn't that we've disciplined them, we've shoved them out the door and they're forgotten. How much effort have you put forth in trying to restore the brothers and sisters that have been disciplined from this church? I'm going to leave that all with you all. Get on the phone. Call them. Let them know that you're praying for them. The Lord lays on your heart to go visit them, go visit them. Let them know that you care. Let them know that you care. That's what they need right now. That's what they need. They need us to love them. That's what they need. When you get into it with your fleshly brothers and sisters, you have a little spit or spat with them, you just forget them, don't have anything to do with them. Why, no, you feel terrible, don't you? Until that thing is made right. We ought to feel the very same way with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Ought to love them enough to put forth every effort we can to try to restore them.